Greetings to you, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, welcome. Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this time you have given to us to be gathered as your children around your word. Be with us now. Pray that your spirit will give us the understanding that, Lord, comes from you as we open your word. And be with me, be with your servants as they also listen. In your name I pray. Amen. The last time I was here, I gave you part A of my devotion. Somebody, I can hear somebody saying, I think that person was waiting for part B. Definitely, I've come with part B today. To finish up what I promised, because I said I'll come with part B. If you remember in my introduction last time, it was about wishing for something. If you were to wish for something in these circumstances we are living in, what would you wish for as an individual? And obviously we know what we are confronted with. We are in the midst of a pandemic. All of us would wish if this corona would go away so that our lives can be fully normal again. So it's like, then I also said, if someone was to present you with an opportunity to ask for something again, what would you ask? Would you ask that your enemies would be dealt with or whatever? And I draw my passage last time from 1 Kings chapter 3. I only looked at 1 Kings chapter 3. I looked at verses 1 to 3. That's where we looked at last time. So today I would like to pick up from that. And part A was mainly composed of unchecked character or unforeseeable sins that brought David down, Solomon down later in his life. And we looked at those three. But today I would like to pick up and look at Solomon's or David's commitment to the Lord, and then Solomon's request for wisdom from the Lord, and then the Lord's response to Solomon's request for wisdom from God. Allow me to read from verse 4 up to the end of, it's not up to the end, up to verse 15, where it says, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice. This is Solomon. For that was the great high place Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne to this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant the king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered and counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind. so that none like you has ever been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. If you will walk in my ways, keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. So what we see here, we see Solomon's commitment to the Lord first. In verses 4 to 5, I touched on this last time a little bit. We see him going to Gibeon, a high place where he's going to worship the Lord. And to worship at high places was a practice that was usually associated with pagan type of worship. It was a type of worship that was taking place in Canaan. People would look for these high places. Then they would go there to offer their sacrifices, to worship their deities. They thought that the higher the place, the nearer they were to their deity. So therefore, it could be that Solomon, growing up in this environment where he saw such practices happening, he had also his high place where he worshipped Yahweh. He is not worshipping this Canaanite god, but for him, it's a high place, yes, but he is worshipping Yahweh, the true one and only God. And however, worshipping at high places at this stage in the Bible, it is something that God indicated as unacceptable. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 2 and 4, it tells us that, it teaches us that you shall not worship at high places as they do when you get into that land. This is Moses giving final instructions to the second generation that is about to go into the promised land. So God had said something about this practice. But here we see Solomon doing it, selecting a high place where he's offering sacrifices. Many of them, thousands of them, we are told he used to offer them to God. This tells us something about his devotion to God, how committed he was to following, to worship Yahweh. So it seems at this stage, according to him, nothing is wrong at this stage, but it served as a great temptation, like I said previously, for Israel, because we see when you read 1 Kings, 2 Kings, you read about this king who came. He did well, but he did not destroy the high places. Somebody takes over. He did well, but did not destroy the high places. So they became a snare. They became a source of temptation for Israel, idolatry. But here we see Solomon is doing it. But while he was there, God appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord's appearance here, which would be like a theophany at Gibeon, says so much about divine favor from God other than his own obedience. It's so much about divine favor, the favor that God is bestowing on this man. After the Lord appeared to him at Gibeon, Solomon went back, and we are told he offered burnt offerings and peace offerings at Jerusalem. That is verse 15, right? The last verse there. He's offering these. It seems to me that God is almost saying to him, this is where you should worship me, and this is what you should be doing here at this place. So the Lord appeared to him, and the manner in which he appeared, it was in a dream. We know those days, dreams were very common, in such a way that God would appear to people in dreams and visions. And in that dream, God asked Solomon, ask what I shall give you. What an offer that this man is given by God. Ask what I shall give you. It is like somebody giving you a blank check and ask you to write any amount you want. What would you write on that check? God is asking you. Ask what I can give you right now. You could probably to start to think about your debts. You may start to think about your various needs. You may even include in that space money that you would want people to borrow from you. It's a blank check. You would want to see the entire space where the figure must be written. All the figures are there, all the punctuations that punctuate the figures, written there tightly, leaving no space, writing the full amount on the blank check. So once more in this case, we have seen that the Lord appeared to him. It was divine favor. And this question that God is forwarding to Solomon to say, ask what I can give you, is once more divine favor being shown upon him. So grace is behind all this, not what Solomon has done, nor what Solomon will do. It is all emanating from grace. So what did Solomon ask for? Secondly, we find that Solomon's request for wisdom, verses 6 to 9, he asks for wisdom from the Lord. But before he did that, there's a remembrance on how his father walked before the Lord. He said here, David recalls and appreciates the conduct of his father. And we know because of his conduct, God showed steadfast love to David, because David walked, number one, in faithfulness. He was a faithful man, which means he was holding to one God. And secondly, David walked in righteousness, which means he represents a communal relationship with people, in righteousness, the people he was living with. And we also see, number three, he walked in uprightness, which means it's a description of his thoughts and his deeds. We can use one umbrella word here. David, it appears he lived a blameless life. He's almost saying, in this way, this is how my father walked before you. Will I be able to walk in the same manner like him? Will I be able to do that? Will I be able to follow his footsteps? Now we learn something here. How precious it is for the coming generations to recall how you would have walked with the Lord personally as an individual. Hallelujah. Amen. Those who are praying can open their eyes and say amen. Right? How precious it is for the coming generations to say, you have walked with the Lord faithfully. There are families today that even hate the graves of their fathers, because they have not been fathers to the family. What will they say about your relationship, about my relationship with the Lord, about my walk with the Lord? Not only within families, even in broader settings like communities or our workplaces. One day, or some years to come, when you are out of this place, MTC, maybe through retirement, maybe through resignation, maybe through death, what do you want us, what do you want those who remain behind to recall, to remember about you, about me? David remembered the walk of his father with the Lord, and it is still impressed on his heart. And it's like he's saying, will I be able to cope? Will I be able to walk like he walked with the Lord? He remembered that clearly. How would you like people to recall you? How you would like them to recall you is modeled through little things like your attitude, my attitude to other people. It is modeled through how I treat other people. It is modeled through how I treat the students I have been entrusted by God to teach. We serve in different capacities. How would you want, years later, people to recall you, people to recall me? David recalled without a shadow how his father walked before God and men. A legacy that any sober Christian, it is a legacy that any sober Christian must seek to emulate, must seek to imitate. I am not saying that David was a perfect man. We know he had flaws, but what matters most was how he handled such flaws before his Maker, such that his Maker, God himself, was able to say, he is a man after my own heart. He wasn't perfect. He had flaws, but how did he handle them? And this is coming to the mind of the son of Solomon. He is remembering. It's like he's reminding God, but we know he can't remind God. He's simply narrating how his father walked. So that modeled his character. Solomon knows that God allowed him to sit on his father's throne because of David's relationship with God. Verse 7. So from recalling how his father walked before God, we see Solomon now is turning the attention to himself. He narrated how his father walked. Now he's turning the attention to himself, and he said here, I do not know how to go out or how to come in. I'm only a child. And literally he is picturing a little child that can't open the door. Okay? The door closes, the child goes on, out. Or when the child wants to come in, it's very difficult to open the door, maybe because of the size. So what is Solomon saying? He's not a baby, yes, we don't know actually how old he was when he took over from his father. But we know he's a grown-up man. But he is saying, I need somebody to lead me. I need somebody to be with me as I take over from my father. So Solomon knows he's leading God's people. This is what he's so much afraid of also. He's leading God's people. Not just people in general, not mere people, but Israel here is God's treasured possession. He's going to lead. And there are too many to count, he tells us in verse 8. And when he says there are too many to count these people, we see here something also being fulfilled, a promise that was made to Abraham. I'll give you descendants, many of them. And here Solomon is pronouncing these words. These people are too many to count. A promise fulfilled. So he's looking at the task that he's being given and the type of people he is to lead. And he's saying, I am only but a child. I don't know how to exit the door, and I don't know how to come in. In other words, he's saying, I need you, Lord, to help me. So Solomon humbly asked the Lord to give him wisdom, to give him understanding in verse 9. He is the one who later on wrote in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. The same man, what does he want? He wants wisdom from the Lord. And he realized here the fear of the Lord, it is the beginning of wisdom. So it's like he wanted his blank check to be written, wisdom only. That's it. That's what he wanted on his blank check. When God asked him, ask what I should do for you. And he wants the check to be written, wisdom. And it was written, wisdom. He has come. He has some measure of understanding that he has. He knows, yes, I'm going to lead. That measure of understanding is there. I'm going to lead God's people. but he lacks the wisdom. He has the qualifications, they might be there, but he lacks wisdom. He comes from a royal family, but he lacks wisdom. And wisdom, it is the application of the knowledge that we acquire daily. Lack of wisdom leads to doom. Lack of wisdom destroys the legacy that has been passed on to you. Lack of wisdom destroys the legacy that has been passed on to us. Even right here, if we lack wisdom, the legacy that has been passed on to us by the founders of this institution, everything will go to doom. So we need wisdom. So being appointed to a position, yes, it begins with qualifications. People want to present papers, isn't it? But if those papers are presented, I studied this for so many years, and then after that I studied this for so many years, it's like you are climbing the ladder. But if those qualifications, if that knowledge is not accompanied with wisdom, it will be in vain. Though appointments begin with qualification. So wisdom makes a world of difference. A fool that displays some wisdom is sometimes regarded better than the most educated person. So Solomon said, "Give your servant wisdom, an understanding mind to govern your people." He needed to discern good and evil. And the word discern here carries the idea still of understanding. And discerning doesn't come so easily. It doesn't happen overnight to discern over issues. One has to wrestle honestly with issues before God, before a conclusion is made. I need more of that wrestling. And you need more of that as well, so that we arrive at better positions. It takes wisdom to minister to God's people where the Lord has sent you or will send you in the future. Your work with people, you work with people, sometimes I was saying this in class, where you will be sent. You might work with people that see demons everywhere. Everywhere there is a demon. What do you do? Wisdom is needed in handling situations in our day-to-day lives. So Solomon's request here is based on his own limitations. He knows where he is limited. He knows where his need is. And the right need, not just any need. And actually, blessed is the heart that understands its own limitations and lay such limitations before the Lord to take over. Such a heart could draw wisdom from the Lord. And a sick person who does not acknowledge that is sick will die in sickness. So Solomon, in this case, he is like Moses, who knew his limitations. Remember with Moses, he said, "I'm of slow speech. I can't speak." He knew his limitations. You remember Jeremiah, what he said? "Ah, Lord, I do not know how to speak." In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6. You remember Isaiah? "Woe is me." All right? "I'm a man of unclean lips." These people, men of God, they knew their limitations. And they are asking God to lead them. And God did so. Somebody says, "With humility we should ask God for wisdom to serve in the area he has called us to serve. The Lord gives wisdom, and he gives it freely and generously to those who ask." And then after this request, and he mentions what he was requesting from the Lord, thirdly and lastly, we find the Lord's response. God's response to Solomon's request. Verses 10 to 11. Now, the writer of the book here tells us that it pleased God that Solomon asked for this, and he did not ask for long life. Solomon could have said, Lord, I want to live long. It's like in this pandemic, one would say, Lord, I don't want to be affected, to be infected with corona. He did not ask for those, long live the king, long live the king. He did not ask for that. No. He did not ask for riches so that he can have pride of life. No. He did not ask for the lives of his enemies to be taken away, to get even with those who wronged him. No, he did not ask for that. He asked for wisdom. Wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom, and wisdom was going to allow him to deal with all the other issues of life, because he asked for the right thing and it pleased the Lord. So the Lord made him the wisest man that ever lived on earth. And there will never be any like him, as we read in scripture here. Not only that, God gave him what he did not ask for. The things I have mentioned. God gave him riches and honor and long life. When you read verses 13 to 14, the very things he did not ask for, God gave him, because he asked for the right thing that pleased the Lord. So God's response to Solomon's request, it brings to mind Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. Amen. When we ask for the right thing, when we seek the kingdom of the Lord first, what God want? And all these things will be added. The things that will be added, what are they? They are accessories to life. You ask for the main thing, the most important thing that matters. Accessories are given. We all have phones right now, isn't that so? You count it the main thing. But phone has accessories, isn't it? That come with it. So when we ask for the right thing that pleases the Lord, God will give us accessories to life. The riches, you mentioned them. A lot of things that he can give that to us. He says all these things will be added to you. So it brings to mind Matthew 6, verse 33. When we make his kingdom our top priority, he knows what we need. No wonder Paul wrote, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Ephesians 3:20. Still the same understanding. He knows what we need. In Christ Jesus, all the treasure and wisdom are hidden. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Christ is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Christ's wisdom is more complete and more extensive than Solomon's wisdom, because he is the divine Son of God. Therefore, the best thing we can do in our lives is to have a saving relationship with Christ, who possesses all the wisdom. Wisdom enables us to handle great responsibilities that the Lord blesses us with. Anything that we are doing here at this place, it is a responsibility that God has entrusted into our hands, into your hands. So what do we need? Daily, humbly asking for wisdom from God. Do you need wisdom for a troubled or a broken relationship? Do you need wisdom for a work situation? Do you need wisdom for a stumbling block in ministry? Or do you need wisdom to solve family problems? Some siblings in families don't see eye to eye. The year that we are living in is still uncertain. We do have burdens that continue to weigh down on us. What do we need to do? Ask for wisdom from God to lead us, to guide us. Those who lack wisdom, God gives to them generously when they ask. James chapter 1, verse 5. And Christ indeed is the fullness of the wisdom of God. May the Lord bless us with his word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this sober reminder this morning that as we continue to live every day as your sons and daughters, Lord, we stumble, we fail in many ways because we have not come to you, Lord, to ask for the wisdom that comes from above. Forgive us, Lord, and help us from today onwards that, Lord, whatever we do, we should ask for wisdom from you. We thank you for the life of Solomon and David, though we know that these two had their own pitfalls, Lord, in life. But Lord, you were pleased, especially on how they handled these matters before you. And Father, help us, Lord, to keep on having our faith rooted in Christ, whom we know by faith, Lord, that all the wisdom that we may desire, that we may want, is found in him. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.